Psalms chapter 104. Find that place. You able? Let's stand together. Psalms chapter 104. You pray, Lord, help us tonight. I appreciate everything we've heard. And thank God for it. Psalms chapter 104. I appreciate the word of God. I appreciate the Psalms. There's something about the Psalms, you know, when you get in those books of wisdom, and Job teaches you how to suffer, and Proverbs teaches you how to live. You come to the book of Psalms teaches you how to worship. And the Bible teaches us all throughout it, as they sang that song, we find David said, "I'll bless the Lord at all times." And I'm glad, thank God we can do that. Bible says in Psalms 104, we'll start reading verse 31. The Bible records these words, says, "The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." Verse 34, he said, "My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord." Said, "Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more." Said, "Blessed thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord." Heavenly Father, come before you one more time. God, I pray
for a few moments of time that you'd help us. God, we sure thank you for every song that we heard. God, I thank you, Lord, for the blessed book that we have. God, I'm glad that, Lord, that when we're in the places that we're at, that God, that the Bible teaches us that, Lord, whatsoever things are written aforetime, it's written for our learning, that we, through patience and the comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. And so, Lord, I sure thank you for the Bible. I thank you for every man that gave his life, and God, that I might hold it in my hand tonight. I sure thank you, Lord, I found it to be a mighty soft pillow. And God, when I've had trouble sleeping, and God, I sure am thankful that it has been. And God, as the psalmist said, a lamp unto my feet, and it's been a light unto my path. I thank you, God, that we found in it, God, the words of eternal life. And God, I pray we'll look for nothing different tonight. I'm asking you, Lord, that you'd help us and to give us good unction to preach with, Lord. I pray help us not to say nothing except what you'd have us to. And Lord, we sure thank you. We bless your heart. In the holy name, in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I'm interested primarily in that verse that we read. The Bible says this, sweet psalmist of Israel, in verse 34, simply phrases it like this. He says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. He said, I will be glad in the Lord. I want to say this, friend, if there was anybody that knew what it could be to be bitter, surely David knew what it could be to be bitter. But what I find, and instead of getting bitter, I thank God, he seemed like he just kept getting better and better and better. And then you come to this passage, and what we find that the Bible says is quite simply, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I thought there were several things just in that little thought, and then I'll try to preach you the message. And the first thing I thought about is that David knew he was going to have meditation. Amen. Wasn't up for discussion. David had already purposed in his heart that he was going to be meditating. But then I think, thank God, he wasn't just meditating on anything. David said, my meditation of him. Amen. Listen, friend, I thank God. There's a lot of things you can think about. You can get mad about. You can get upset about. But boy, when you start meditating on the Lord, fixing to get somewhere. But then I thought about this. And thank God he said my meditation of him. He knew what it was going to be like before he ever got there. He said it's going to be sweet. Amen. I'd say this, friend, thank God I'm certain that you cannot meditate on the Lord and it not be sweet. Amen. Oh yes, there's too many sweet things about the Lord Jesus Christ for it to ever be that way. I think we're living in a real unique time. I mean, Brother Nathaniel attested to it. I think we're living in a very peculiar time. I think, thank God, we may be the very generation that sees the coming of the Lord. And I want to say it like this. Thank God, I think that we need to expect that there's going to be some battles along the way. It's going to be some bitterness trying to creep in. But our plan has to be this. How in the world are we going to stay sweet in such bitter times? Amen. I mean, thank God, I'm not interested in being bitter. I don't want to look bitter. Thank God. I don't want life to make me bitter. I don't want to, thank God, I don't want to grow bitter. Amen. I know folks seem like the longer they've been saved, the more bitter they become. I don't know where that happened at, but I don't want that to be my life. Amen. Thank God, I want to grow sweeter and sweeter in this journey. I'm going to give you 3, 4, 5 things tonight on how to stay sweet in real bitter times. I thought about the first thing. David says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I thought, thank God, there's some time that we just need to sit back and meditate upon his covenant. I mean, there's the one thing that'll help you. I thank God, it's awful sweet. I'm talking about whenever you're dealing with the souls in your your life. It is a blessing to think about the meditation of the covenant of the Lord. Amen. And now listen, let me say this. Everybody in here is going to face some Sauls. Amen. And there's going to be some folks, thank God. And everybody's not going to be for you. Everybody's not going to love you. Amen. And they're not going to be cheering you on every step. And I wish it was that way, don't you? Amen. It ought to be that way, thank God. But it's not that way. Amen. I find there's an awful lot of folks. It seems like instead of being for Christians, and they're waiting on them to fall, and they might talk about them when they do. Amen. Have they some Sauls there? I thought about the Bible says, you remember over there in that passage, and whenever David's at the dinner, and the Bible said, and Saul looked down, and he found a javelin that was in his hand. And thank God, next thing you know, he's about to sling the javelin at David's head. I thought, man alive, how do you stay sweet and when everybody around you hates you? Amen. I mean, listen, friend, and we ain't talking about just anybody. And we're talking about the king is against him. Amen. And that means the whole kingdom is against him. Thank God. I thought, how do you stay sweet? And when you become an enemy in your own home, and when you become an enemy in your own kingdom, how is it that you stay sweet? I tell you what I think David did. Thank God. I think David just got to think about that covenant. And he said, thank God, I know one thing's for sure. There is going to come a day he's going to be gone, and I'm going to be king. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God, listen. And David didn't always have that on his mind. There was some times there that David said, and there is but a step between me and death. And sometimes, friend, a battle got so real on his soul, he thought, I'm not going to see it out. But then he writes Psalms 89, and he says, the covenant of the Lord unto the house of David is forever and ever. I'm sure there's a time or two that old David laid down his head, and when he laid down his head, God got to reminding him of when old Samuel came by his way and anointed him afresh and said, thank God, and there's a covenant between me and God, and God's not forgotten. Amen. Oh, listen, friend, I'm telling you, and God's not forgot, and not one covenant that he's ever made with the people of God. And we stand here tonight, and look at me, friend. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I do know God's made us promise. Amen. And God's promise is that he is coming again. Amen. And so sometimes when it seems like the souls of your life are out to get you, there's a step between you and death. There's javelins flying at your head. And thank God, it looks real bad. Hey, your wife's against you. And the king's against you. And the kingdom's against you. But thank God, God's still for you. Amen. Listen, I might not do nothing for you. It sure stirs my heart to know when I got up this morning, that God was for me. And when I go to bed tonight, that God will still be for me. And you say, preacher, how do you know it? Because he said so, amen. It's a covenant of God, thank God. And God's not passed up. Not had a sidestep. I mean, listen, good neighbor, and the reason we can stay sweet and when we're around so many bitter people is because we're in a covenant. Amen. Oh, yes. I thank God it sure is a blessing to be cut in a covenant. I mean, unless they sometimes you fight. These folks get bitter because they have to fight some souls. But then I thought about this, thank God. It's going to be sometimes you're going to have to go through some seclusion, some sorrows, some situations you didn't want to go through. And the question is, how do you stay sweet in the middle of that? I know it's easy to stay sweet. How when you're sitting on a throne and the scepter's in your hand? Thank God when you're the one calling the shots. Thank God when they're letting you eat grapes out of somebody's hand. And when it looks like everything's going good, it's easy to stay. I thank God for it. But it is easy. And when we come in the house of God, that moment them testify. Had Kim and Misty testify. Boy, it is easy to be sweet. That prayer, amen. And when we come in the house of God, and we say, man, I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to share the good news and sometimes me and Nathaniel will talk, and I'll tell Nathaniel this. I'll say, if you're going to say it, hey, you better say it before I do. Amen. Thank God you tell me something good. I believe I'll rob you. Amen. I'll tell it, thank God. I'll tell it every time. Amen. It's easy to say in a half a call. We've been praying something for weeks, and maybe months, maybe years, and then all of a sudden we get in here, and God's answered that prayer. And man, it's easy to be sweet. But what happens when you keep praying that prayer? Many times you pray it, and thank God, looks like no answer's coming. And David wasn't up on the throne. He was down in a cave. And the Bible says with those in debt, and those that are distressed, and those that are discontented. And somehow or another, he still managed to stay sweet. How do you stay sweet when you're in a cave? I'll tell you how David did it. He pinned her down. So you and I would know it. The Lord is my shepherd, amen, and I shall not want. Hey, you know how you stay sweet? And when you're down in the midst of sorrow and situation, as you remind yourself, of the Lord, but you're under the care of the Lord, amen. And boy, that stirs my heart that I am under the care of an almighty God. And look here, good neighbor, there's not one of his sheep that's ever going to come out. Sheep there looks bad. There's not one time, friend, are you ever going to look at one of God's and say, that's not one time has God ever heard a sheep that they say, man, amen. I mean, God will take care of us. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. That sheep's ever went missing. And you say, hey, I wonder who that belongs to. And you won't have to wonder very long. And thank God the voice of him. Skipping on the hills. That's what Solomon said. That's what Solomon said. And boy, I felt like skipping right there. And he said his voice that would come skipping on the hills. And you know where it was a coming to? It's a coming to his sheep. I thought about this, Kyle. That boy, this stirred my heart. I'm sure David didn't like being in a cave. It's cold, it's damp, it's wet. Hey, it's secluded from everybody else. And thank God, I'm sure he didn't want to be there. But then I got to think, man, you know what a cave is, don't you? I thank God a cave is a place inside a rock. Amen. I thank God. And look here, friend. David out there in that place. And he's wondering what's going on in his life. And God says, I've got you a place inside the rock. Thank God I'll take care of you right there. Amen. It's a mighty good place to be tonight. And my meditation's sweet. And when God puts us and we're reminded tonight that God has placed us in the rock of his son. And thank God that makes me. I want to sweeten up just a little bit. Amen. Oh, yeah, thank God. And God's not failed nobody yet, amen. And not to look here, and they got in the promised land. He said that there's not one a promise of God fallen. And thank God or failed. I mean, listen, friend, you get in that place, hey, you're not going to be the first one, amen. I mean, whenever you're dealing with sorrows, and when you're dealing with sufferings, and what about when you're dealing with sin, amen? That boy, sin will make you bitter, amen. There's a lot of Christians in the house of God, and sin is what's made them bitter. They've never dealt with their sin issue. They've never dealt with their problems. I thank God sin crept in. They used to have joy, and sin crept in their soul. That sin will rob you of your joy. It'll take your smile away. That sin will take your peace away. That come in the house of God, look here, it'll be gone, friend. I'm talking about sin will take it out. Hey, you say, preacher, how do you stay sweet? Hey, in the midst of sin. Hey, you don't, amen. Hey, you don't, thank God. I'll tell you, but bless God, I swear I'm glad that there's a place we can come to. Hey, of our sin. Hey, you remember in Exodus chapter 15? Thank God they're coming outside of, they're coming out of Egypt, and they're coming to the promised land, and they are in the wilderness. And when they're in the wilderness, people begin to murmur and complain. They got one place of water, and the Bible says they call that place Marah. They said, these waters are awful bitter. Amen. man. Had there been waters, had there bitter waters, hadn't Moses just stopped? And he said, Lord, what are we going to do? He said, those waters are bitter. And the Bible says, and the Lord showed him a tree. Amen. He said, thank God. I'll tell you what you do. And you take that tree and you cast it into bitter waters. And the Bible says the bitter waters, and they were made sweet. And you say, preacher, how do I get back sweet? And you get rid of sin. Amen. And thank God, thank God. And there is a fountain filled with blood, and drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stains. I'm glad, John, you had it right. And thank God I don't have to get on a Boeing 767 Wayne. I fly 18 hours. I get off, go 60,000 at 120 miles. I go up to Jerusalem. I go outside the city. I find the spot I think it was and kneel down right there and say, God, I hope this works, and get back on a plane. I come back to America and say, who knows if that works or not. Oh no, friend, I'm glad I ain't got to go that far. I'm glad when it comes time to deal with my sin, I'm glad I can get down on my knees. I can lift up my voice and cry to the thrice holy God. God, I don't know how he does it, but somehow or another, according to the blessed book, he ever lives to make intercession for you and me. I'm glad that if we'll confess our sin, he is faithful and he's just, amen, how to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Like the old thief did. I'm glad I can bow down like Peter did. I'm glad I can call on Christ just like Paul did. I'm glad, thank God, I can holler out just like Mark did. And no, amen, and no, thank God, and God will take care of my sin, thank God. Oh, yes. Hey, something about being in bitterness of sin. I thank God sitting in that weight. And boy, I've sat there, amen, until you come in the house of God. And the bitterness of sin be on your soul. And man, listen, there's nothing worse, amen. There's nothing worse. Not to a Christian, and not to a Christian. And now look here, this is a little embarrassing. And thank God my wife's about to find this out for the very first time. And some of you done seen it. But I came in the house of God tonight, and somewhere between the house and here, I got a black spot right here on my britches. I rubbed up again the tire, and my suit's clean all over. But that spot right there. And when I sat down right here, and Nathaniel didn't say, that's a nice suit. He didn't say, Brother Kevin, he didn't say, I like that new tie. He didn't say, oh, boy, those are nice socks. He didn't say nothing about them shoes. And Nathaniel looked over and he said, what in the world you got on you? Amen. And the list, I'm going to tell you this. I want you to hear me, dear neighbor. Have you come in the house of God? And listen, when God searches over his sheep, he didn't say, boy, I like that new smile. He didn't say, thank God, look at them. I look at them new shoes, amen. I look at that new, and whatever you got, he's a God in heaven. And when he searches over us, he says, what in the world has that you got on you? And we got to say, it is the world, amen. And God said, you like free. Look here, I went to the bathroom. I scrubbed on it with water. I scrubbed on it with soap. And I came to the conclusion, Miss Crabtree, and then it's a job for the dry cleaner. Amen. It's beyond my power. It's beyond my knowledge. It's beyond my ability. But thank God, I'm glad. I'll take these off tomorrow. I'll take them to somebody who knows what they're doing. And when I get them back, the stain will be gone. Amen. I'm telling you, good neighbor, that's an awful good day. And when you realize you can't do a thing about your sin. And when you realize, thank God, how you can't just quit. How you can't turn over a new leaf. How you realize you ain't got the ability. How you don't have the expertise. How you don't have the know-how. And you say, I believe. I'll just take it to him. Amen. And before you get up, look here, you'll be cleaned up, picked up, perked up, and he'll not even charge you. You won't even have to pay up. I mean, it'll be a happy day. And God turns the bitterness back sweet. Amen. Oh, listen. God cares too much about his people. Have to let the people of God be sweet when they're living in the bitterness of sin. It'll not happen, friend. How David knew what the bitterness of sin was. I mean, listen, Bathsheba's sin. How Uriah was dead. But thank God, look here. Hallelujah to God. I mean, listen, I done forsook my notes a long time ago. You didn't got just five. You're going to get a bunch of them. But old David's sitting there. You remember that place? And they come up to him, they say, and they say, David, he said, that boy's dead. That boy's dead. And there's a funeral now. He's a funeral of Uriah. There's a funeral of his baby. And thank God, listen, he's already messed up. And God was going to do something for him. I mean, Brother Bill, God was going to help him. He said, would to God he'd have done this and this also for thee if you'd have just stayed straight. But boy, he sinned. I mean, he sinned. He sinned. He sinned. And you say, Brother Kevin, how do you ever get past that sin? I mean, that sin, look here, friend. I'm sure nobody in here has killed anybody, probably. But maybe you have. Maybe you've killed 10 people. Here's the good news. It makes a little difference to God. Amen. I mean, look here, friend. I mean, on the same day, killed somebody, had cheated with somebody, and his own baby died as a result of his sin. And I don't know how you keep on going and knowing that would make somebody bitter. Amen. And you say, preacher, what did he do? And thank God we got Psalms 51 where David just ran to God and he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Oh, listen, friend. He said, blot out my transgression. I mean, he started begging God to wash him thoroughly clean. He said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. I mean, his desire. And you remember what he said? He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And then will I teach transgressors of thy ways. I'm telling you, friend, if you want sweetness back in your life, you'll have to repent. Amen. You'll have to repent. He knew what it was. I thought about this. David knew what it was. I tried to figure out how in the world David. I'm saying meditation of the covenant. I'm talking about, y'all listen to me tonight. The meditation of his care. The meditation of Calvary keeps me pretty sweet. Amen. And consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. I think, man, if God can be sweet on the cross, surely we can be sweet every now and again. Amen. But what do you do whenever you've got the bitterness of dealing with a wayward son or daughter? Oh, listen, I'm going to tell you this. You look at his reaction whenever that baby boy died versus his reaction when old Absalom died. And I got to thinking about how in the world of Philip stay sweet. Hey, Brother Creston, when your own son. I mean, I ain't talking about no Saul. I'm talking about Tanner. And the Tanner tries to take you home. And the Tanner tries to take your kingdom. How do you stay sweet then? How do you stay sweet when it's your own kid? And when you're dealing with a prodigal and you don't know if they're going to get back. And could I say this to you tonight? And old David meditated upon the control of God. Amen. He said he went out barefoot and walked up that place. I crossed over that friend barefoot. And he said they brought the ark. He said, send the ark back. He said, he's going to need it. Maybe God will let me come back again. Hey, you know what David did? You can go read it in Psalms chapter 3. And that is the prayer of David while Absalom is chasing after him. And not one time does he mention anything about his wayward boy. And not one time does he mention his name. His whole focus was on what God was. He said, you're my shield and the lifter up of my head. I'm telling you, it'll be a good day in your life. A good neighbor, whenever you let that bitterness go and you remind yourself that God is in control. He can reach where you can't reach. He can change what you can't change. And at some point in time, if you're going to get sweet, you're going to have to rest on God's control. Amen. Oh, yes. Thank God. There's something about it. Hey, something about whenever you watch and listen, one of the saddest things whenever it comes to preaching, and Brother Rodney, is when you watch people with a slow fade out, with a slow fade out of the will of God. And you watch it. And you watch it happen. Pat, and you come to them, you say, is everything all right?
Yeah.
And say, oh, preacher, things are fine. Things are fine. And then it goes to one service, and then two, and then three, and then four. And then, Rodney, you're going and visit them at their home. You say, is everything fine? I said, yeah, I'm just taking care of a few things. And then I'm going to be back. I'm going to be back. And thank God, and I remind myself, you remember what it was for Naomi, preacher? How Naomi and them went down to Moab. And the Bible says they were just going to, sojourn. And they just was going to sojourn. And they intended to go down there for a few days while the famine passed. And they going to come right back. Oh, thank God. And the Bible says that they dwelt there for 10 years. I'm going to tell you this, you rest assured of it. Have you ever take a step away from God? Have you ever go out in the world? Listen, it's an easy way down and it's a long way back. Amen. Thank God. Yes, sir. And you say, preacher, how to be able to get back as quick as I got down. Listen to me. And whenever you're ready to get rid of sin, that sin ain't ready to get rid of you. Amen. And once you pick that thing up, friend, that's not near ready to let go of you as easy as you want it to. Hey, some folks, they struggled. Have they fought that battle? They been through that thing. Here we find David in the midst of all of that, in the midst of all of these sorrows. Have the chickens come home to roost. And thank God his life's upside down. And still, he remains sweet because he's trusted in the Lord. Amen. Oh, yes. I mean, you get in this place. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I'll assure you of this. You listen to me. Hey, something about dealing with the bitterness of folks that's gone wayward. They say, if we're not careful, it brings bitterness in our soul. We get to blaming God. Get to wondering why God didn't help us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And look up here at me. The first time you say, oh God, why didn't you blank? The devil says, there's my way in for bitterness. There's my way in. And boy, that thing sets up. Oh, listen. It's like a canker worm. It'll just eat you up. Oh, yes. But here we stand tonight. Y'all still sweet, amen. Oh, yes. I mean, despite doing through the bitterness of sons and sufferings and sorrows, through the sentence of death. I gotta say this. I thought I might preach more, but I really do feel like I need to say this. I'm gonna be done. I got thinking about this. How in the world are you able to stay sweet whenever you're just right in the middle of the bitterness of sorrow? When everything around you is going bad, and you know it's your fault, and ain't a thing you can do about it. This is a reality.
Yep.
Listen, they some folks that the reality sets in on their soul that whatever sin done in their life, they ain't getting it back. I wish I had a little more help right there. But I'm going to tell you this. You do with it whatever you want to do with it. Take it, leave it, between you and God. You start making some decisions outside the will of God, sin starts creeping in your house. And all of a sudden you'll start watching things leave. And once they're gone, there ain't no getting them back. Listen to me. There's some things you might get back. There's some things you won't. Could I be just real transparent with you for a minute? You know what I wish I had back in my mind? I wish I had back my mind when I was about 12 or 13 years old before I had so much wickedness in it. I'd like to have that mind back. But sin crept in. And when sin crept in, God restored my soul, but there's memories in my mind. And there's some things I can't get back. There's some things I can't get loose of. They're there. They're there. How do you stay sweet in the middle of all that? You know what I got to reading about, Brother Creston? Boy, this helps me. You know what David seemed to be most focused on in his whole life in the book of Psalms? Go read it sometime. I mean, I could sit right here and I could name off at least 15 Psalms that David wrote about the coming of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Boy, he'd just get the pinning down. Psalms 2, Psalms 24, Psalms 89. I mean, you just read all the way through it. Looked like David couldn't make it just a few Psalms. They thought, man, I need to stop and tell these folks the Lord's coming. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Say, preacher, how did he remain so sweet? Oh, David knew there was a day that all the wrongs were going to be made right. Amen. Brother Rod, thank God, I'm sure glad they some days had that sweet preacher, the Apostle Paul. He said it like this, that, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He knew he was carrying around an old dead man, but he said, there's a day coming. Amen. I'm going to let loose of this fella, and I'm going to be fashioned like unto the Son of God. I'm telling you, friend, there's a day coming. Every right will be made wrong. Everything done in darkness will be made in light. Every bitter thing will be turned sweet. And as long as we can meditate on that, have that ought to encourage our hearts. Amen. There's a day coming. And old David, every time he'd get down. You read it, Psalms 22, about Calvary. Now, David wrote all these. I know they're about Calvary. They're about David too, Josh.
Yeah, that's right.
They're about, listen, David was writing about David.
Yeah.
And God was writing about God.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. You say, how does that happen? I don't know. Got to figure it out. All I know is when he was writing Psalms 22,
right,
David said, there's bulls of Bashan, right, and they're compassed about me. Amen.
Yeah.
Really, God was saying on Calvary, there's bulls of Bashan, and they're compassed about my son. David was writing it. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And David was writing about David. But Lord Jesus Christ is writing about himself. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm getting at the whole time he's over here, and he's talking about this. Really, God's using this
right
to get him focused on that.
Right.
Yeah. Y'all with me?
Amen.
And when you can get in this place right here and say, Lord, all I see right here is what you've done for me right out there. Now all of a sudden, Psalms 22 about Calvary, Psalms 23 about Calvary. I'm going to read Psalms 24 and I'm going to be done. You get ready to stand to your feet. Let's get ready to come. Listen. I don't know. You don't stand right now. Just listen. This is David's. I don't know who writes titles, Donnie. I don't know who puts titles to some of these things, and some of them I hate. Now, some of them's not biblical. Don't get messed up on what I just said. Some of them's a men, and they've titled. Some of them they've titled what they are. Now some of them David titled. Sometimes there's men. They say this is the thought that's coming, and we like it. That's what they call it. My Bible, Psalms 24, it says, a pure heart. I like that. That's what he says. He said, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands, a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob's law. Watch this next verse 7. He said, lift up your heads,
O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. David said, I'll tell you what I'm resting on. I'm resting on there's a day that the King of glory is going to come down and the gates are going to lift up. You say, how's that happen? I ain't got to figure it out. All I know is he touches foot down on the Mount of Olives. He's heading for that city, Jerusalem. And right now, it may not be very long, really. And right now, that eastern gate's been kept walled up and a little Muslim grave planted outside of it. They said, that'll keep him out. That'll keep him out. But you mark her down. He's a coming in, he's a coming in, he's a coming in. This thing's about to be over. We are to sweeten up. Amen. Let's stand to your feet. I've cleared my heart. Listen, come.